8:45. We will call to order the Gates County Board of Supervisors. Will you rise?
Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. Consent agenda is the first thing, and that is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held November 2nd. Approve all claims through November 16th in the amount of $479,811.77. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report for month of October. Approve register of deed summary fee report for month of October. Approve specs and call for bids for 1, 2011 or 2012 full-size pickup, and 2, 2011 or 2012 4x4 SUVs. Bids to be opened November 30th at 9:30 a.m.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Matt.
So number 7 here, are these the vehicles Gus is requesting?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
That's what I was going to talk about. At the law enforcement, Gus came up with to put the pickup, a bid out for the pickup, and then for 2 SUVs. But we're going to put out there for the 2 SUVs that they're not 2 in one package, that if the bids come back or whatever the bids come back at, that we could do maybe just one if that's more appropriate, or we'll see when the bids come back. We told Gus to go ahead, though, and put it on the agenda so that we can go ahead and get the bids and see what the cost is going to be. And he had another vehicle that they're having another problem with, he brought up or whatever. So we're in dire need of some different vehicles again over there.
Okay. Can't close her, Keith. Any more discussion? Vote 7-0 to approve. Regular agenda is comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Keith, update on Linden Road.
Imagine you wonder what I've been doing. Did you ever have to go back to 1881 and try to find out what the legal description was when the lady just gave it to the railroad for $100. This has been really something. And everything, I know, looking right at an attorney, why, you know how easy it is to deal with the Burlington Northern Railroad that really doesn't have a set of officers anymore. So it's being time-consuming and running more problems than you can shake a stick at, because some of those legal descriptions were never just said to the railroad right away. Bingo. So we've been dealing with Burlington Northern out of Fort Worth, Texas, and they do not have a board of supervisors anymore that has anything to do with their right-of-ways. They have turned it over to a national organization of real estate, and if you can deal with a little gal that's been on the board 9 weeks, she doesn't know the difference between eminent domain and just come back in the farm, and all the land that Burlington Northern owns is all good cropland in Nebraska, because that's a cropland state. And what we're trying to buy is a piece of junk, if you're a fan. But we have done great progress in the last...
Just an overview so everyone knows the road we're talking about.
Linden Road, that's all I thought
of. A couple miles south, and there's that little jog in it that we're trying to straighten out. We've talked about it quite a bit, Road and Bridge, but so everyone knows there's that. And we're still working on parts of it, so now is probably the time to straighten that out. So,
anybody's not acquainted with having this map. And we now, in the last 2 weeks, I finally, thanks to my son who was in Fort Worth, who went over and talked to them, because I didn't think you want to finance me in the trip, went over and talked to them, and he got me in contact with a gentleman that has been relieved of his command in this purpose, but he told me the process, and we've really progressed since then. We have two properties that control that whole thing. That's the hunt land and the railroad. The rest of it we can get worked out very. And the railroad sent me a letter stating that they had a minimum. They didn't talk to anybody until that person was ready to offer a minimum of $6,000. And I told them that we could go eminent domain, and that sort of changed that theory. I have put together on the hunt land this, and I need your signature there if you guys agree with it.
Have you run this by Roger?
Basically, the secretary knows all about it.
Okay. Can
it's not word legal. It's layman language.
What I'm getting at is I cannot sign it today until it goes on the agenda, correct?
Mr. Juergens has, he's been with me on the whole trip, so he knows what's going on. And I think Mr. Dorn this morning got it.
We will get this on the next agenda, because we can't sign it today without it being on the agenda.
Ouch. The money has to be to the federal government by December 1st. If we can't do that, it goes into another 6 months.
Special meeting Monday.
Yeah, we have a special meeting Monday.
We'll do it Monday.
That's fine.
Yeah, we'll do it Monday.
Well, I have to have the check delivered to the FLCA office for that amount to buy back. You don't realize all of the complications you get into. This particular farm is in the CRP program. You find that they have the
Keith, could you step back so you're speaking into the mic, please?
If you don't understand CRP program, it's been in 12 years. So we have to pay back to the federal government the payments and the interest on 2/10 of an acre of land. We're talking about $290. But the time goes on that. And it has to be done. The contract that was promoted to them was December 1st, that they would have their money on or before December 1st.
Okay.
And the contract is in there. Don knows all. We talked about that contract yesterday. But that small amount of money would have to be to them. Now, the railroad are sending me their new operations.
If you get everybody a packet for Monday, and we'll do that same. We'll do it Monday.
Okay, that's fine. Just so we get that one. That's the key point right now.
Is to
get the release before we can sign a deed.
Just the Holmesville Road.
And the mortgage, on the farm with First National of Omaha, there's no payment. We don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
There's a minimum of it. Any other questions of me?
Thank you
very much for your cooperation.
Appreciate it.
Rex, I would like to say the county's in the process. We're rebuilding that road anyway to Holmesville. We're doing that right now. So that's what got this started. So we're going to try and straighten that road out to make it a lot. It'd be a huge improvement for the road safety-wise and everything else for everybody concerned. So that's what got this project started. And the other thing I want to say, Keith's been very diligent with this. He's a very patient man, or he wouldn't accomplish what he got done. So at a minimal cost to us, it'll be a huge improvement for the county.
It is minimal cost.
Yes.
Keith's done a good job.
Yes.
There's been 16 accidents at that corner recorded. We did have an insurance company that did say to me, compliment to your board, that this is something that we as insurance companies would like to have a straight road through there. Because that's kind of a whip or dipper if you've ever drafted that road.
It is. It is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Jim Ford not here. Presentation of visitors improvement check.
Jim's not here.
Is
that you? You're up.
I was waiting for someone else to be here, I guess.
Let's see.
Jim probably.
That's what I was waiting for, was Jim.
Yeah, Jim isn't here either yet. So.
Oh, that's fine.
You can go on home if you like. Oh, shucks.
Okay, then I think we're up for Gage County Planning and Zoning Board to become livestock friendly.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I can confirm there were snow flurries on the Gage Jefferson County line this morning while I toured. So, anyway, I'm sorry. It was there. Gage County, as far as the livestock friendly issue, this is not the first time that our commission has addressed this issue. Back in 2004, actually, when the state first implemented the program, we discussed the program at length. And the consensus at that time was that we were new in zoning. We had just set our regulations up, and we heard no producers come forward with really pushing towards that event. So we decided to just sit back and just wait and see how the program played out. From there, we have continued to look at what the program has to offer. And in May, the Beatrice Chamber of Commerce Agribusiness Committee came to you and to us to revisit that, and that's what we've done. You asked us to research the facts, and so I'm here to present that to you today. Last week at the meeting, we had a room full of producers, both large and small, at the meeting, in addition to commodity groups. And we had the Beatrice Chamber of Commerce there and business owners. And by unanimous, it was very, we needed to address it again. So our findings are that there are 16 counties that are already livestock friendly associated. The closest counties are Jefferson, which initiated that at the beginning when they started their zoning regulations and put them into place. Also is Webster, and Adams are the closest to us. Five counties are currently in the application process. We know that a lot of counties, since they have regulations now in place for zoning and they just completed their WIN regs, they're going to start concentrating more on the livestock-friendly program. We chatted with other producers within the state, and we heard no opposition. And in fact, many wanted their local governments to revisit and further pursue that status because of the impact that the livestock industry could have should the Humane Society in the United States pursue the initiative ballot for Nebraska. So why should we consider it now? Agriculture will continue to be a valuable resource for our county. We all know that we're either directly or indirectly involved with agriculture in some way or fashion. But the trends in how agriculture is marketed and promoted have changed within the last 5 years. The livestock-friendly program, what it has proven to be, is a very strong, viable outreach program for us to look at as potential clients explore what Nebraska and our county has to offer. The largest factor is that with the way that we do our business from day to day, all of us with a click of the button through the internet or social media of some sort, we make decisions, major decisions on that basis. So if a potential business wants to know which counties support the livestock industry, you can Google the facts. Up pops the map in Nebraska, livestock-friendly counties, and those counties who have established potential for that status are those that may be most affected by the decision. It could be a livestock production facility. It could be an equipment manufacturer. It could be a retail center. So becoming a livestock-friendly county does not change, and it doesn't give up any of our local authority that we have. It doesn't change our setback requirements. It doesn't add any leniency to any of the factors if a production facility comes in. Our current regulations are written with setbacks. A good example for that is the 1,500 head unit, 40 pounds to 250, which is market weight, has a setback of 3/8 of a mile. We have regulations written into place right now in Gage County that with setback requirements with a minimum of a quarter mile on up to a mile and a half, depending upon the size and the types of animals that are produced, whether it's poultry, livestock, if it's cattle or swine. And actually, as each one of you look within your own districts, you know that those setbacks are going to limit itself as far as where actual potential livestock production can even take place. Myron, in your area, you know, in the northern part of the district, highly density, that's not going to be appeasing, you know, to future production facilities coming in. It doesn't even change the way Nebraska looks at the DEQ permitting process, which administrates how the waste, which is the biggest nuisance and the complaint from those people out there that smell and work with it and so forth, but it doesn't change how the site is inspected or prohibits anything that we're currently doing. In reality, in the last 2 years, Gage County, out of 238 permits, has only had 4 permits that were actually directed towards livestock production. We've had support buildings, you know, we've had grain bins and that sort of thing, but only 4 permits, again, out of 238 is all we've had come forth. The process that we apply for is very, very minimal. Steve Martin is here today with the Department of Agriculture, who has kind of helped us through understanding the process. Is here if you have any questions about that. But the first step is for you as a board of director of the supervisors to hold a public hearing to hear the support or opposition of the program. If a motion is made by you, then a formal resolution is adopted by the county board that acknowledges that we support a county livestock-friendly status. It's a 3-page application that are attachments of our comprehensive plan, our land use plan, our zoning regulations, the areas where the wellhead protections areas are. These are all supportive material that we already have done, and we've been utilizing, and it's everything's in place for that right now. Upon the acceptance of the application by the state of Nebraska, the signs are provided by the state, and a news conference is scheduled for the declaration, usually in attendance with the governor, to celebrate that livestock-friendly status. And after that, just an annual report. The overall costs, which all of us were concerned with, to the county would be minimal, too. Resources, I think, within our own Gage County could be utilized for the application process. In fact, the commission has already consulted with Paul Hay, our county extension specialist, who has agreed to assist with that application and reporting process if it's approved. The county attorney obviously would need to look through the application just to make sure, and you as a board would. There's no application fees involved, and upon approval by the state, the signs are already provided. Chamber and area businesses have already committed towards expressing their interest in helping host the reception that's being needed. So, questions?
Myron.
Oh, you said it has to be approved by the state. What department or who?
State Department of Agriculture.
State Department of Agriculture.
Looks over the application, the 3-page application, and determines if and when or if we are livestock friendly. And it's based upon our comprehensive plan, our livestock regulations that we, zoning regulations that we already have in place, and you as a board, the declaration that you as a resolution provide that you all state within that declaration.
Danny.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just am so excited about this, and as we're looking at restructuring economic development in Gage County, this is another wonderful step toward that end. And I don't think we ever want to forget about the fantastic role that agriculture and livestock plays in our communities. And so I'm just tremendously in support of this. I'm glad that your committee is also and has brought it to us, and certainly would hope we'd move in that direction.
Terry.
I agree with Denny on that. Agriculture is big for Gage County, and this is a step we could use. We've talked about economic development, just like you said, for the last 6 months. This would be a huge part of that. So I think I'm 100% behind it.
Matt.
I'll make a motion to approve holding a public hearing in support and or opposition of the program.
Livestock. Second. Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote 7-0 to approve. Next agenda.
The only thing I have other than on zoning is that we will be losing a committee member, Judy Leibel, for health reasons, is leaving us, and so that area over in the eastern part We'll need a new member. David Zimmerman is also up for reappointment, and he has expressed interest that he would like to continue. So we'll have them forward the letters to you, Rex. Judy does have some ideas as to who would be good over there to represent. And the other issue is the nuisance, a possible nuisance up in the Cortland area. We have directed that over to the county attorney, as you know. And also, we've been researching and keeping abreast also on the rock quarry, too. So,
if it's appropriate, the issue in Cortland is a Cortland city zoning issue, correct?
That is correct. It boils down to it's within 0.9 miles, and so there was some question. I'm sorry, if county attorney, go ahead. But
no, that's right.
There was some question as to the viability of how feasible we as zoning could get involved with that. There's also grandfather issues there that we have to research a little bit further through the USDA, the film, microfilm, and so forth. So we know that this could be a business that's already been in effect. But certainly we see the need for that and have directed it towards the county attorney.
Okay, good. Myron, any questions on that?
No, I'm fine. Matt? The public hearing will be our next meeting in 2 weeks for livestock friendly. Just to clarify,
that's something.
One in 2 weeks.
Actually, we would like to wait till the first week in December because we know that that's right during Thanksgiving, isn't it? Your
30th.
Thanksgiving.
30th. The week after.
Oh, we're okay then. Yes, then the 30th would be fine. Yep. So
we'll do it the 30th then.
All right, we'll have things in place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Lisa.
Jane Ford Whithoff, Public Health Solutions Director. Annual report. An update on Public Health Solutions.
I'm pleased to be here. I have our annual report, and it's very long, but there are a lot of pictures in it, so maybe that would make up for the length.
You have to sit on my lap.
Since I'm the writer and the editor, that's what you get.
That's so right.
Anyway, we've had a very busy year this year. Seems like each year gets busier. I was comparing the annual reports for each year, and it seems like we do very much get busier. I wanted to mention some specific things that have been done this year. We did do our Skip Flu program, and we had support from four of the five counties. Not you, but hopefully next year. But that's going very well. We've had a very active program in this Safe Routes to Schools program here in Beatrice. I don't know how many of you might be aware of it, but we work in partnership with the schools to increase safe walking and biking. In that regard, the last part of the grant will be the use of $8,000 in barrier funds within Beatrice, and I believe that what they're planning to do, and this is in cooperation with the police department and the schools, $8,000 is going to be used to purchase two solar-powered flashing beacon lights for designated locations on 19th Street in front of Lincoln Elementary, and then there'll be some reduction of parking, too. The hope is that we can reduce any hazards and increase the likelihood that people will walk and bike. In that box, we have walking maps that were developed to designate the safe routes within the community to walk on, and hopefully that would increase walking and biking. We refurbished a total of 25 bike racks in the community, and we have the Voltage program. I don't know that you probably know about this, but the Voltage program is a computer a reader that's at the middle school, and the kids wear stuff in their hats or on a badge on their body, and when they walk or bike under that, it counts their activity for the day, and as a result of so much walking and biking, they get prizes, and that's being done in cooperation with local volunteers. We've distributed 800 helmets and 1,500 pedometers, and, you know, other materials. But that's just one of the projects that that we're doing or have done within Beatrice. You know, we continue to work with the hospital, and we're proposing again this year an application for funding for a case management program to reduce unnecessary emergency room visits, which should be of benefit to the whole community in improving health status and reducing costs. I don't know if there are any particular concerns that you have that you'd like to mention, but, you know, we'll be out and about here in Beatrice. We still have not located a place to work even temporarily, but hopefully we will in the near future. And what I mean by that is that when our staff is down here working on projects, it's just nice to have a little office to, you know, to do their paperwork in. I don't know if you have any particular questions. We had no West Nile virus this year. I'd like to take credit for that, but I can't totally. But no West Nile virus, and so far we only have one influenza, suspect influenza case, and we do monitor that. And let me see. I don't know that there's, oh, yeah, God, I forgot. You might have seen the spread on the front page of the paper on our Tai Chi program. We get a very small amount of money from the state. That's kind of the story of our lives. But we're using that money to help 15 people that have previously trained to be leaders in Tai Chi to conduct programs throughout the district, and there are two within Gage County. Tai Chi is a program, you probably have heard of it. It's an oriental posing exercise program that improves balance, and it's been demonstrated by research that it does decrease the fall rate of older people. And within our district, we have a very high incidence of unintended injuries, including falls. So that's what that's directed towards. And we have two programs, one in the senior center and one at a assisted living facility. And that's going very well. I think that's about it. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. No? I know you're just going to want to get at that annual report.
Thank you, Jane.
So, thank you.
Motion to put report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Presentation of Visitor Improvement Fund grant check to Prairie Playground. You're up.
It is a big check.
We like to take this opportunity always to just publicly acknowledge and thank the County Board of Supervisors for approving these funds from the Visitors Improvement Fund. Roger Hendricks, chairman of the Convention Visitors Bureau Advisory Committee, and Kathy Setzers, the liaison from the County Board to our committee, and Deanne is here representing Prairie Playground. So with any luck, this will work. That should be great.
Thank you very much. And if you guys haven't had a chance to be out there, we actually got the build finished last Friday afternoon for this phase of the project, and it was wonderful to hear the kids laughing and playing and having fun. It's been busy all week because the fall has had such nice weather for us. Sounds like maybe not going to last the weekend, but we'll see. But anyway, it's been great to see there's been lots of kids out there using it. So thank you very much for your support. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. Approve or disapprove tire amnesty grant?
Make a motion to approve the tire amnesty grant.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Terry.
Rex, I think this is a very good program. I mean, there's so been so many tires that have gotten rid of off these farms that have been there. They're actually a health hazard and everything else. So I'm 100% behind this program.
Good. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution on engineering service and signing supplement number 1, agreements for construction, engineering service for STP 3220, Barnston North, Gage County.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
11-38.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, does everybody know what this is?
Go ahead and background.
This is the addendum to the contract. Galen brought this to our attention in Road and Bridge, where it had to do with core samples of whose responsibility it was to do those, and it wasn't spelled out in the initial contract, so there was some, I call it banter back and forth. And so the core samples are done and everything. We just had to go through and amend this portion that wasn't in the initial contract. I believe that's summarizes
it. Right. For the Milo Hickory Road, that was done.
Yes, I'm sorry to be at this point, yeah.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove Gage County Parks and Recreation Improvement Grant.
Motion to approve.
Thanks.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
Chairman.
Matt.
There, had a recommendation to add a line in there. Where the heck? Put that. On the grant application, there was a request to put sources of other funding or in-kind contributions to encourage the public bodies, the organizations, to list on there what other funds they intend to use. Obviously, ours would just be a supplemental grant to do some of these projects, and that was the only addition really to that, other than what we discussed 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Any more discussion?
I believe last time you talked about that this we're developing this, but this will actually be for the next fiscal year.
Well, it'll be.
Or will it be for this fiscal year?
In that grant there, the notification of grant awards will be made in May of we'll award those in towards the end of the fiscal year. And number 8 there under grant awards is note ability to fund requested grants is based on the Gage County budget constraints. So as we get towards the end of the year, as we get these, if we get the grant applications in, we will review those and see where we're at from a budget standpoint. So we're not going to be obligated every year to just put X amount of dollars in there. They'd probably come out of the miscellaneous general fund. My thoughts were, don't put a line item in there, because then folks will say, well, you got it budgeted, let's spend it. No, that's not the purpose. So it would just come out of the miscellaneous general fund and would be where I would propose that. So we'll review that at the end of the year.
Right. Okay.
Any questions? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove county representative to economic development entity.
I'd make a motion to have Myron Dorn be the Gage County Board's representative with regard to moving forward with economic development.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Discussion.
How long? What are we looking for term? Are we talking a year, or are we thinking?
He would be the representative moving through this process with Smart Solutions once it gets going.
But how long? I mean, is it just indefinite?
Three meetings set up so far with Smart Solutions to get those things going. And unless Myron bails on it or someone has a huge aversion to him continuing, I don't, I'm sure he'll spread it around if he wants, if he gets bored or.
Yeah. Your committee's in January as a rule.
You do your assignments every year?
In January.
We just needed to have
a to do
just person. Until January, and then it's in the committee format? Okay.
Appointments.
Okay. Myron Economic Development Representative until January, and then it'll be appointed when we do the January appointments. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove immediately stopping the use of dock days in highway department.
Make a motion to immediately stop using dock days in the highway department.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Setzer. Discussion. This was brought to us by a phone call. It is something that is not in the handbook. It is something we were not aware of. It started 2 to 3 years ago. If you are out of available time, you could draw dock time. If you're out of sickness, if you're out of vacation, comp time, and you were going to be gone, you drew dock time. Dock time, I really don't know how much we should say on what we don't really totally understand, except it was not in our handbook. It is not something we can ever pay in front on something you have not earned. If you're out of all that, you're drawing into the future. The auditor says we cannot pay the public defender in the future. We cannot pay anyone in the future. So, Roger, no, I'm trying to be careful in what I say.
Well, and I just think the point is, it was brought to the board's attention. You're dealing with it immediately so that the practice doesn't continue. And I think that's the only way to deal with it.
I think as we talk about attendance violations of our employees, they never get in the attendance violation because they were always covered by something. So we have perfect attendance type activity taking place. And like Roger said, we were made aware of this last week. We addressed it in Roden Bridge Monday. And I would like to, while we're on this, on dock days, this is from the Roden Bridge report, which Terry will give, but I do want to highlight some of it right now. Discussion items, dock days being allowed at highway department, they are not in the employee handbook. Actions and directives were immediately to stop. This direction came from the Road and Bridge Committee. And expected dates for completion of directives listed above, dock days stop on November 14th. And then put this on the agenda to make the whole board aware of it and to ratify the decision. So, but as soon as Road and Bridge was made aware of it, they ended it. Their very first meeting, the knowledge was there. Gary.
The only thing I'd like to say is, just to clarify so everybody understands, that this was a highway department issue. This was not a county-wide deal that was going on. This was something that was going on in the highway department.
Only.
And I guess we really don't know how long it's been going on, but it's something that's happened just within the last 2 or 3 years, we think.
2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
So, any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. We are going to have a closed session and discuss some personnel issues. That's needless injury is what it will be. So we will go through our committee reports if anyone has anything else. Well, the 9:30 deal. I don't want to forget it at 9:30. I'm looking past myself. Committee reports, let's do them in 5 minutes. If not, we'll finish them after the 9:30 is what I'm getting at.
We had a 911 communication meeting with the city of Beatrice yesterday at 10 o'clock, and they basically were discussing that contract for communications. That contract is up July of 2012, so we'll be renegotiating that. Went over the cost, the structure, how that works, some of the projects that Mark's working on with the narrow banding, some of the communication pitfalls, concerns, benefits throughout the entire county. Of course, Gage County uses Beatrice as the communication center for the entire county, and all the rescue squads, police services, ambulances, fire departments, they all use the Beatrice communications. And so Bruce Lang, we met for about 45 minutes, kind of went over all of that. That's just the annual meeting that's in the contract. So we're good discussion.
You get your text paging?
We discussed, too, text paging, and that the county right now is not they're having enough issues and enough problems with some of the counties that are trying certain types of texting that they're not ready to put that amount of extra on the 911 center people down there to have to do that. But also Bruce, or I guess Mark, did talk about there is now a program that they found that's available out there. Let's say, for instance, if Adams wanted to do it up there, the call came into the repeater up at Adams, they could have their computer. They could have a computer sitting there. The Adams people could do that on their own then. That call would automatically download in that computer. It would be sent out to somewhere else, and it could text back in 4 or 5 minutes. Very much Bruce and Mark both wanted to emphasize that some of the counties that are trying the texting, they're trying it. They originally tried it as their main source of information or the main source of getting the call, and that's really where they came into the problems. The problem isn't so much if they're using it for as a backup, like to the pagers, that you have more systems there where you know you're getting that call. Some of the texts, they had one person, I think, in Saline or Jefferson County that they got the text the next day. So it's not always definitely reliable also to get the text. I mean, there are issues out there with any of that. We did have a good conversation about it, though, and continue to look into it. But right now, the programs and everything, it's just not there where Mark and Bruce feel comfortable doing it right now. But I was sure interested in the part of if one of the squads themselves wanted to do it, there is that system out there where they could buy their own computer and have the call monitored, and it would be sent somewhere down in Oklahoma or Arkansas and come back as a text, which they could use as a kind of a backup for the pagers or whatever.
Now, I can't remember the county, but there was a county out east that touted this was going to be the new good thing, and they went that route, and now they're trying to go back and buy as many pagers as they can because just
Johnson County. Yeah. Johnson County, they
just didn't work out.
There are a lot of good benefits to doing the texting, but then they're finding out there are drawbacks and there are issues with it, and where they really got into issues was Johnson County kind of went and they were using it as their main. They weren't doing the pagers with it. They were, and Mark said now they're coming and asking if anybody had any extra pagers so that they can have both of the systems.
Well, one of the other parts of discussion that we had, and they being that group down there had this discussion years ago, was regional
911,
because every place that has this communication has a similar infrastructure, and their cost to run that is roughly $500,000 a year. And there's really no reason why every little county needs to have this. It could be you know, just where Gage County and Beatrice sit geographically, we could try to reach out to some of these other communities and decrease some of their costs, which would then decrease our costs because we would basically be co-oping together. They have apparently talked about it years ago, didn't get any response, and I in the conversation we had, I think that Bruce Lang would be open to at least having those conversations of how that would work, but that would definitely be a cost savings regionally to taxpayers. By apparently the system they have there is just absolutely wonderful,
state of the art,
and it's really underused. It can do a lot more, so you know, that's one of those things down the road that we can try and work with other counties and save taxpayer money because they're going to have a similar infrastructure cost. I was rather impressed. I hadn't seen those numbers for a few years and rather impressed with the cost.
And our contract was a 3-year contract, and that will be up due here next year, and that's why next spring sometime we'll start discussion on the finances of that again.
I do want to touch on something. It's kind of off of Terry when he does Road and Bridge, but we are going to meet today with local manufacturing that wants to talk about a road that was brought up to the Highway Department this spring, and today is the very first day we've heard of it. So we are going to meet with them today. And just to let you guys know, if you hear of a little talk, that's what it is, and can't tell you guys any more than that now. But So
there was a road request that
we just heard about. I heard about it today on my way in here this morning. I received the phone call. So it's 9:30. We need a motion to open to close all bids on surplus vehicles.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Discussion, vote. And these law enforcement?
He's rubbing his hands.
Oh, okay.
Ready.
Do you know all the same?
There's two different vehicles. Two. One's an Explorer.
Dodge 1500. Okay. Okay, so we just got one bid for the Explorer. Yeah. Okay. Give me a read.
Yeah.
Okay. Dennis Lyons, this is on the 2003 Ford Explorer. Dennis Lyons submits a bid for $656. You want the address and number too? Dennis Lyons, 422 South 5th Street, Beatrice, Nebraska, 68310. Phone number 402-520-2000. And there'll be three bids on the 2003 Dodge 1500 pickup.
Okay, explain what the other vehicle was, where it came from. What it was used for, that vehicle.
Gus.
The one you just read the bid on?
Yeah.
That was one of our patrol units.
Yeah. But is that the one the transmission's out, too?
Yes. Transmission's
out. Do you want to...
Okay, we ready to move on? Okay. First bid for the 2003 Dodge Ram, $1,535, submitted by David Lyons, 1203 North 15th Street, Beatrice, Nebraska, 68310, 402-239-4875, and that was $1,535. Second bid for the 2003 Dodge. The bid is $1,111.17. Ron Honsey, 509 South 11th Street, Wymore, Nebraska, 68466. Phone number 402-645-8058. And the third bid for the Dodge 2003 pickup, David Trout, 1,253.03. The address isn't real readable, so I'm just going to bypass that. Phone number is 402-662-3011, and it was David Trout. Amount of $1,253.03.
Is that it, Gary?
And that was it.
Okay, so what was high bids? And
we only had one bid on the Ford for $656.
Motion to approve or disapprove selling the Ford for $656.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. And the Dodge?
Dodge looks like for $1,535 from David Lyons.
David Lyons.
Motion to approve.
They're tag teaming them again.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Rex, this was a pickup for Rex. Had three bids on to replace transmission and everything, and they all came in a little right around $10,000, $10,000 to $11,000 to replace that, and we decided that.
And the motor,
but it wasn't. That was going to cost more than what the vehicle was worth, fixed up and everything. So that's why it was put up for bids.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Any more committee reports?
Go ahead, Terry.
Terry.
Basically, we've covered a lot of the items in discussion on the committee, but the main thing is Galen and the help down there have got their winter plan ready. So hopefully we won't have to use it, but all the equipment's ready to go whenever we see the first snow. So other than that, most of the things that we discussed have already been covered already in the regular meeting.
Do you have anything else on that?
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much. Oh.
Okay. Any other committee reports?
I have law enforcement. Amber was up. We had law enforcement meeting Monday again, and Amber was back with the rest of the bids for the bathroom in each of the units over there. And last time, I think we had a bid of roughly $39,000 for the stainless steel in each of those. In 12 units, it was $39,000 for the stainless steel. Now she came back with the bid to replace the plumbing and the facility thing, or whatever you want to call it, to replace all of that was $3,850 per unit. Mm-hmm. Or in other words, for each jail individual stall, is going to be approximately a little over $7,000 to replace each all of that. Gus or Amber, they've talked about that they would like to do sometime here in the next year, replace 12 out of the 28. So you're looking at roughly $85,000. We'd budgeted $120,000 for jail repairs. Most of that, though, and we've talked several times about it, was what we think they need to finish the
jail standards.
The jail standards for the the fire marshal to finish the jail standards. So this is another expense that's come up. I mentioned last time that even though the bond got defeated, we're still going to have issues and still have costs. So that will be coming probably. The committee hasn't made a recommendation to do it or whatever, but will probably be coming sometime. And the board have to decide what we want to do with the latrines over there in each unit. Then, Gus, also, the other thing we talked about, which we put out for bids, was the vehicles.
Reminder to everybody, today is County Government Day. The Legion is having lunch. The kids are going to be coming in here at whatever point. So if anyone wants to stick around afterwards. 11:35. So, and then there'll be a lunch at the Legion Hall. So, any other committee reports? Okay, Gary had asked me if we could have an executive session to have a needless injury of personnel, and I think are we going to expand that any, Roger, on what else it may be?
Well, it's. Want to discuss anything further on that road? That's entirely you. I think that's quite early.
Too early to do that yet?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it requires any action.
Okay. Gus, I'd like you to set in on it for your first few minutes to give us your update on what you told me over here. Just so everyone understands. And so, need a motion to go into an executive session.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Did you have something?
Yeah. Liberty National. I had called and I got on the
agenda. I don't believe you're on the agenda.
Who did you talk to?
I didn't talk to you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will just. I think I talked to Don and told that I could be here on November 16th at 8:45.
No, we said we had to run through all that through committees. Any insurance stuff goes through.
Oh, yeah, insurance would have to go through committee.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kathy is your contact. Yeah.
Kathy Fletcher.
Hi. Come in then. Okay.
Need a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Well, second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Anything else for the good of the order of the board? Lenhart, anything else good for the order of the board?
You're the last agenda item.
I just want to sit in on this. I'm not scared.
Gage County Board of Supervisors adjourned at 10:20 then.
We're done.